George, Tom, and I are going to be at the Alien Snowfest Conference in Big Bear, California, February 5th through the 7th. And you can get your tickets and information over at aliensnowfest.com. That's aliensnowfest.com. Coming out with George, Tom, myself, Richard Dolan, Chase Kletsky, Mike Bearer, we're all going to be there February 5th through the 7th. Now, today, conspiracy is the new normal. The truth isn't ever. And where do I get my material for my show when I need it? I go to Buzzsaw and I watch Sean Stone. And tonight, he is our guest here on Coast to Coast. He is part of that new generation, the generation that questions everything. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight is Sean Stone. Sean, you like that? I get my material from Buzzsaw. The secret's out. I'm just letting everybody know.
Well, I like that. I mean, we don't always cover news, topical subjects. Sometimes we do, but sometimes what I love about it is that it's more perennial in the sense that we try to create a database of patterns, trying to help people understand the patterns and see the patterns in the world, as opposed to responding and reacting to the event as it occurs, right? As we talked about, we don't necessarily understand why it's going on at the moment, but if we understand the greater pattern of what's going on the global chessboard, for example, whether it's economic or a spiritual motivation or power politics, whatever it may be, we can at least, by looking at Buzzsaw, maybe reflect upon what's taking place.
What did you think about, you know, one of those presidential candidates, you know, last week, announcing that, you know, there was, if they made it, if that person made it to the White House, I don't want to name names, we don't need to go there, but that there would be an open investigation into Area 51, and John Podesta is pushing for it, and we're going to get to the bottom of the ET agenda. When something like that happens, is it because we're inching closer to disclosure and they're leaking it out? I mean, that was said with intent for sure. Why would a candidate say something like that? Are they trying to fish for votes, or is there another message there?
Well, who was it that mentioned the Air 51 disclosure?
You're going to make me do it? Hillary.
Yeah, well, I know you mentioned Podesta, and I know he's consulting her.
Right.
Look, Podesta, I know from, I don't know how much I should say, but I mean, I know from his involvement with things like the citizens' hearing on disclosure, Steve Bassett's initiative, which I think was a great endeavor, and it was a great attempt to bring together 40-plus witnesses to give a mock session of Congress and some former congresspeople testimony about what they'd seen. That, you know, that's tremendous. And the fact that people don't want to take that seriously at this point, I mean, you've got to have a garbage can over your head if you don't understand that, yes, there's a lot going on here. Now, maybe you want to say it's all man-made, this is all high-tech, advanced technology that's being deployed. Okay, so be it. But then we, I think, as citizens, need to understand what level our government really is at in terms of its technology, in terms of its energy, ability to manipulate energy for propulsion purposes, to be able to move craft in that way beyond light speed, for example, or at least visible light speed, to be able to potentially move interdimensionally. You name it. I mean, the point is these craft that people see are very, very advanced. If our government has that ability, why are they not sharing the goods with the American people that apparently are the taxpayers, that are the people that are paying for it? So if it's not us, then who is it? You know, this is the kind of questions that any thinking person has to start asking. And I love that Podesta, at least historically, has been someone who's advocated for more disclosure. Do I think it'll come? No. I think that it'll be the same situation that Bill Clinton said when he wanted to go and open the archives on, I don't know if it was 51 or if it was just the Roswell incident, but he wanted to know more about the aliens and alien presence here, and he wanted to know about the Kennedy assassination, remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he didn't. If he got anywhere, we don't know about it. So I think it's maybe a little bit diversion. But here's the thing. Don't expect the government to come out and tell you, people, there's aliens here. You're more likely to see the government fake an alien invasion and institute some kind of martial law scenario or global one world order scenario you know, via the fear of the other, than you are to see the government come out and say, well, let me tell you the truth.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Well, and another great example of us jumping on the conspiracy side of things was MH370. And to see in mainstream media the comments about a time portal, a UFO abduction of the airplane, this actually being discussed in the public is an example of us jumping on the conspiracy side of things, that it's something else and it's not what they are telling us. Mainly, it's just lost, and we wouldn't accept that. And, you know, whether it's on Diego Garcia, all of these theories were put on the table, and all of them were seriously discussed. How did you handle that on Buzzsaw, and what's your theory about MH370?
I don't even have a theory on it. There's just too many possibilities. Everything from they were shipping weapons. I'm trying to remember. Everything from they were shipping weapons to... on the plane, kind of like Lusitania incident, to portals opening, to the idea that there were some kind of patent owners on the plane that had to be taken out, to a game of the Chinese messing with the Americans because there were certain conflicts ongoing around the islands and in the Pacific, and the Chinese wanted to kind of test their muscle and see if they could make the American radar go dark so they could, you know, steal a craft kind of thing and just test their technology.
Right.
I mean, who knows? That, like you said at the beginning of the show, who knows when it comes to most of these events? We don't have that level of disclosure, unfortunately. We don't have the level of disclosure from our government, from disclosure between people that might be in the know. That's great when whistleblowers come out with documents. We need more of that. We need more forums for people to come forward and say, look, this is the paperwork, this is pictures, this is my evidence. And, you know, let's look at this, let's analyze this, let's have a public discussion on these things as opposed to a top-down media presentation of events, because that's already been manipulated. That's already been controlled through the PR spin of the consultants and analysts.
And you bring up a really good point. I'm sorry if I cut you off. You bring up a really good point. If you were forced into presenting your best case that this stuff is going on and here's the evidence and this is it, and you push that evidence across the evidence table in court, right? Mm-hmm. What is that case that you push forward?
In which case?
Conspiracy-wise.
What is my best case, you're saying?
Yeah, the best example. I mean, would it be, I mean, obviously there's Kennedy. We can look at that. We can look at the Gulf of Tonkin. But is there something else that you think is really strong that proves that argument?
I think 9/11, from the ballistics of it, in a sense, just, you know, from the, not ballistics, but, yeah, ballistics from the point of view of architecture, engineering, actual physical design. Is it physically possible to have two separate planes randomly hit two buildings at different spots and create the same exact collapse on three buildings? In what universe is that possible?
None. I can answer that for you, none.
So it's kind of like with Kennedy where you kind of look at it and you go, the problem was that the autopsy photos were doctored. The problem was that the body was probably tampered with or even potentially replaced, and the brain was gone. So you couldn't prove it. The forensics was all messed up, right? So that's usually the best proof is in the forensics, right? That's how you prove a crime. Like, well, what does the body tell you? What does the body tell you in the 9/11 attack? It's not two planes that cause that level of destruction in Manhattan. It's not a plane hitting the Pentagon that causes that opening, that cavity, that was pretty minimal in that wall. So, yeah, I think you look at the forensics, and beyond that, beyond the forensics, you really get into speculation.
Well, you know, for me, I would love your comment on this. For me, when it comes to 9/11, It's not before we go to thermonuclear, holographic planes, this, that, collapse of the building and the strike. You can, all of that can be discussed, and I'm fine and have an open mind on that. But it's not that. That's not where the conspiracy is or starts. It's that Washington and Saudi Arabia knew in advance that it was going to happen. Well, that is darkness right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but again, that's also circumstantial. I mean, who? Because at the end of the day, you could say, but who knew exactly what, right? Who knew what when, right? There's always because that argument always becomes confusion. It's like, you know, well, we knew the enemy was going to attack us, but we didn't know exactly on which flank, and we didn't know exactly what time, and so we were in confusion, and we got hit. That argument always, you know, can always be deployed, and that's what they used, was the whole, we made a mistake, we messed up, no one really is getting fired for it, but hey, we happened to have a lot of drills that day. But really didn't know it was coming. I mean, we knew it was coming. We didn't know what day, so we couldn't know exactly when it was coming. But I'm saying the forensics proves.
I want to jump off.
Murder.
Right. So right. I want to jump off subject for a second because I've got you here, and I know the audience would love for me to ask this question, which is, and I'm watching Twitter, so I need to go here right now. When it comes to the Kennedy assassination and whodunit and so forth, did your dad ever talk about the UFO angle that he was getting ready to disclose and wanted to have disclosure on the UFO question? Did your dad ever look into that? And what do you think about that?
I don't think Kennedy was that out there. I mean, the problem is, it would be like this. My dad, no. Has he ever gone down that path? No, I don't think so. He might be aware of it to some extent. He may have read something on it, but he never followed that angle. The problem for that angle for me is a question of timing of his murder. It's more important to kill Kennedy. I mean, in terms of the timing, we know that it's important to kill him in November before Baker goes on trial, basically, right? Baker is basically getting in trouble in front of Congress, right? And Baker's Johnson's guy, and that whole scandal, is it Barker or Baker? But anyway, that whole scandal could have exploded and basically unraveled Johnson as Kennedy's running mate. And really, without Johnson, who's basically been a military industrial complex guy, a CIA guy, in the Senate for many, you know, for years. He's got a very seedy history in his own right, and Roger Stone goes into a lot of that with his work on Johnson. I think you got to get rid of Kennedy at that point in time. Now, whether or not it was because Kennedy was issuing the executive order to issue currency from the Treasury, that may have been a motivating factor. Remember, we have a Federal Reserve System that is a private bank that loans us money, as in loans us, the federal government, and the people money that we have to pay back.
Right.
And the idea was to go back maybe to potentially to go to a greenback or a treasury-backed currency. And so that's maybe one motivation. There's the issue of Vietnam, that Kennedy's not really adamantly going to commit to a war in Vietnam. He's basically, you know, has a small advisory group there. He's already pulling out some advisors that are, you know, the NSAM 64, 65, basically, right, the idea was to pull them out next year and to basically wait till the election and then, you know, at that point, draw down the force. So there's a lot of things that Kennedy's doing. The UFO thing, maybe, yeah, I mean, he would have been aware of the UFO presence and perhaps some of the black, you know, the Black Project stuff. But to the extent of saying he's going to go out there and reveal it, that's kind of, you know, this is the 60s. It's still a certain, you know, he say culturally it would have shocked people. Do you think the president's going to have the temerity to go out there and completely shock everyone in the world to say, yes, we have aliens here, and I'm going to be the person to reveal it to you?
Well, we could certainly talk about that mood being relevant in the 60s, but here we are in 2016 now, where that shouldn't be a concern. So what would stop them today from saying yes or no on the ET question?
Uh, Listen, there's still a weird, how do you say, there's still rules of engagement on the planet. It's not like how do you say, there's a certain level of free will zone, but it's not entirely free will. Everyone's kind of chosen their karmic role that they're playing, and they're serving their time here. You're not going to just go out and simply say, well, the aliens are really running things, and you're all actually seeded from aliens, and you know, then what? you have to transform the consciousness. It's an alchemical process, actually. I think what you're really seeing is the fact that people will arrive at that conclusion on their own. What you can do is you can motivate it, you can help it, you can plant certain seeds, you can do things, but there is, to me, a greater consciousness at work. And alien, again, is not just physical bodies that look different than us. It's actually a whole different realm of consciousness that people have glimpsed in ayahuasca journeys and LSD or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dimensional reality that transcends the 3D realm. So long as we're in the 3D construct and maze, the manipulators kind of have us in their game. The more we start to tap into the fact of different realities and higher realities, higher dimensions and spiritual nature, I think that we will ultimately arrive at the necessary conclusions. And I think that there are alchemists and there are magicians who are doing work, a lot of it through media, through film, music and whatnot, to help people get there.
What about
just shock the system overnight and tell them,
yes,
you know, this is just a game, guys.
Yes, I see that, and I agree with you. But what about the religious aspect? We certainly have the political and the financial side of it, and those risk. But what about the religious? Can religious withstand disclosure?
Who cares?
That's exactly my point.
Who cares if the religions can stand this withstand disclosure? There shouldn't be any conflict between religion and truth.
That's exactly right. So what is stopping us? That's everything that the Robertson report stated and all of those concerns that we were just talking about back in the 60s, those aren't relevant concerns here in 2016. Not with our generation. I think we've way moved on from freaking out about ET. We've seen way too many movies and we're way too prepared, too many experiences, too much eyewitness testimony, too many photographs and concern that it that part of it's not a big deal. What would freak out everybody, Sean, is if the answer was no, that we are alone. Then religion becomes a concern, and the financial district and military, because we wouldn't have anything consciously to live for anymore.
Again, I think people will have to come to their own conclusions on a lot of these things. I don't think it'll be, how do you say, there might be a time when the consciousness shifts and almost overnight we have an awakening. But I don't think that's the way it'll occur. There are great changes in store for us, but it rarely happens in like a moment, momentary revelation. It's usually more gradual. Are we alone? I can pretty much assure you no. But at the same time, what is it to be alone? We're all part of the galactic mind or the cosmic consciousness, oneness.
Our guest, exactly. Our guest tonight is Sean Stone. And when we come back, we're going to be taking your calls. So get ready. Sean, you want to take some calls?
Yeah, but I want to talk about one movie coming up first, just to, you know, because I think your viewers will dig it, and then let's talk about that before the call.
It's your show, Sean. I'm just here, and this is Coast to Coast AM. More with Sean Stone right after this. Tonight it's Sean Stone taking your calls. Get in line right after this short break. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It is a conspiracy late night radio type of night. Welcome back to Coast AM. This is Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George tonight. Yes, he's taking off a well-deserved night. And you can follow me on Twitter right now, at J Church Radio. Simple enough, I have Twitter active to my left in the studio. The studio here, by the way, the lights are down. It's dark in here. And I follow everything on Twitter. It is real time. Our guest tonight is Sean Stone. Hey, Sean, I wanted to, you rained on my parade a little bit with Paranormal Activity Security Squad. But so since we kind of jumped the gun a little bit, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think your listeners will love this this film, because obviously you guys, they're into the paranormal, and as we talked about tonight, a lot of the dimensional nature of our reality. And so this this film is basically very unconventional. We're going to be releasing it over the next few weeks, I would say probably 2 to 3 months total, in clips, and like almost clips and short scenes, and ultimately then release the film online. And it's basically about a team of paranormal investigators who are more pranksters than they are Ghostbusters. And they basically use all kinds of techniques to basically scare the people that have hired them, and put on a show and make it seem like they're catching ghosts. But when the real ghosts show up, they end up coming to me, because I play a sorcerer in this film, and I help them expel the real demons until we end up fighting the devil. So it's a lot of fun. The total horror comedy, almost like in that manic way of tradition of like Evil Dead and stories like that. And I think your listeners will want to see it.
Well, just like Greystone Park, that when you talk about paranormal activity or ghosts and demons, you have direct experience with all of this. And I've heard the stories about you and a friend breaking into a haunted hospital and going out and chasing this stuff down.
Yeah.
And you experienced all of this firsthand, didn't you?
Yeah. And this is basically the comedy version of our experiences, honestly. I would say Greystone was the horror, chilling, very nerve-wracking take on our experience, more authentic to what we went through. And then this is almost like the spoof fun. Let's make fun of ourselves and this whole genre of paranormal investigations, because we've seen this to death, right? Every, so many shows out there now, and all these, there's so much camp involved. That, oh my God, the light's flickering. Oh my God, it's vibrating. And the overreaction that they create around it. So we basically use that to our full effect in this comedy, and I think people will enjoy it.
Is there anything more scary than an abandoned hospital?
I think being a soldier on a front line with anywhere, you'd say, yeah, there's plenty more scary things when it comes to real bullets and real, real confrontations with death. But when it comes to the psychological ramifications of an abandoned mental hospital.
Exactly.
It's pretty intense.
even one of our heroes coming back from Iraq, right? And what they went through. And then you go, come on, we're going to go check out. No, I'm cool, man. No, it's all right. I'm good right here at the house.
Yeah. And we've gotten comfortable. I mean, we don't exactly wander the earth through empty forests, as some ancestors did. I mean, you watch The Revenant, and that's a great film, right? You just think, geez, these guys were really tough as nails to go through that. We don't have those kind of direct experiences with nature, with the cold, with just trying to build a fire to survive and catch and kill our own meat. So
right,
there is something sort of I don't think there is something that evokes that confrontation with the spirit realm, with pure nature, when you go into a place that's notoriously haunted.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the first time caller line, Scott out in Tennessee. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Say hi to Sean Stone.
Hello.
Scott, you're live on the air.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. I was going to ask Sean if he was familiar with Bill Bonner's conspiracy about the coming economic collapse to America.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't think I'm familiar with it.
Okay. He just says that, and according to stock markets and what all is happening, it almost sounds like he's pretty well spot on, but says that it's going to be pretty bad. ATMs won't work. The credit industry is falling. And
that was Bill Bonner's book?
Yeah, well, it's a video that he put out.
Oh, okay. Well, we will check that out. And thank you for the call, Scott. Let's go to Johnny, wild card. Johnny, welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Say hi to Sean Stone.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Sean. It's an honor to talk to you. I know it's being the son of a very prominent person. It's not an easy thing to do. So I was very shy, too. I picked that up when in your introduction. I thank you for your work. And my concern right now is that it seems that the pattern of these mass shootings, and I really believe our president is determined to take our Second Amendment constitutional rights away from us. And, you know, it just seems like all these, whether it's Sandy Hook, there's a pattern, you know, Aurora, the more mass shootings there seem to be patterns here. And they just fired a professor in Florida, James Tracy, I think it was Florida.
Yeah, so
that. University, was fired for claiming that Sandy Hook was a false flag operation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, they didn't fire him for that reason. They fired him for another infraction. But, yes, he definitely was.
He was outspoken for quite a while on a bunch of different conspiracy theories, not just Sandy Hook. So, but, yeah, you're absolutely right. I read, I think it was it yesterday or the day before that story broke.
I think
it was yesterday.
Yeah.
How do we fight this when everything around us is like Alice in Wonderland, and you can't believe? I mean, you know, from 9/11, I've been listening to the program since when Art started it in '92 or whatever it was. You know, I'm totally see these patterns, and I really appreciate and honor your work, and I will be wasn't familiar with you, but I will become an avid fan of yours. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Johnny. Let's go to Carlos right here in Southern California in Carson. Carlos, welcome to Coast AM. Say hi to Sean Stone.
Hi, Sean, and yes, good evening. You know, I believe this ET phenomena is a very carefully contrived concoction. And I'll tell you why I believe that. Zachariah Sitchin, who talked about the Anunnaki and some of these aliens, alien beings, whatever, and also some of the ufologists, and I think MUFON also, get Rockefeller grants and Rothschild grants. Now, the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, we all know, are at the forefront of creating a world government. They're malicious people. They're evil. So that makes me very suspect about this whole message of ET. I think they're using the ET phenomena to scare people and force them into a world government. Even Henry Kissinger alluded to that. Ronald Reagan alluded to that. Creating fear in people about ET and the creation of a world government. I knew a person that was doing research on Area 51 and what they were doing. And then I saw this person on the History Channel one time, and he said that we're working on technology, holographic technology, to create a fictitious extraterrestrial landing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's...
When I put all these things together, I said, you know what, this whole thing is very suspect. Yeah, there's UFOs out there, no doubt, but they're not being monitored and driven by extraterrestrials.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great question. And Sean, you've heard this. It's almost turned into urban legend, right? And you've heard this time and time again. But aside from the holographic, technology and Project Blue Beam and a fake alien invasion, but there's always the same two suspect families that come into play. It's the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. Coincidence? And the second question is, have you ever met a Rothschild?
Yeah, of course.
You have. Okay.
They exist. They're humans. But they look human, at least. What were you saying the first time you said that Rockefellers and Rothschild always come into play with what? You said the one word.
It's always those two names that constantly come up.
Yeah, maybe... maybe excessively so.
Right.
There are other families, and some people, you know, I interview people on these topics, and I'm always opening my horizons to understanding where the real power lies. And yeah, the Rothschilds have gobbled up a lot of assets and how do you say, a lot of banking influence. But I don't think they are necessarily the tip-top of the pyramid. They might be very close to it. But they, you know, we talk about bloodline families. The Rothschilds did apparently come into play more in the 18th century. And so when you talk about, like, real old money, like the real old, you know, the old banking families and the old money of going back to the ancient empires, those are different bloodlines.
Yeah,
I don't really say like the Rothschilds are the key to the whole thing. I mean, they have a tremendous influence, and not just they. It's a few of them. Let's say the Nathaniels and a couple of the heads of certain banks and whatnot. Yes, they have tremendous influence and power, but they're not alone in it.
I saw a meme the other day. It was great. It was a meme that had one of the Rothschilds and said that he was on his ninth heart transplant trying to achieve immortality. Hi, you're live on Fade to Black. Or did I just say Fade to Black? Hi, you're live on Coast to Coast. Say hi to Sean Stone.
Hello?
You're live.
Okay, I didn't know you said my name. My name's Dave, and glad to speak with you, Sean and Jimmy. This is a very complicated subject, and you know, when he laughed about this, they ain't really going to make a big deal for religion. Religion has caused a lot of wars over the last 2,000 years, so I think religion has a big deal with this whole topic about aliens and if our government will actually come out and say anything about it, which, just like what the caller Carlos said not too long ago, that all this is just fabricated by our government to scare people. And look how much money our defense gets from taxes. The people being scared because of, let's say, aliens do come and attack us or whatever. And let alone, let's say, the Hollywood is in bed with the government. Because look at all the millions and billions of dollars they're making from, you know, E.T. movies and, you know, everything else that can, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever. Basically, a lot of this stuff is for outer space things, let alone TV, how much stories from TV has affected our, you know, the world itself, especially in the U.S., since everything is basically, you know, manipulated through the media and, you know, in Hollywood itself. So the government actually has its hands, and I think, in a lot of stuff, because, you know, it's all big business, millions and billions of dollars, and what can we do about all that?
Well, that's a great point, Dave. And Sean, you're part of Hollywood, and you're part of a Hollywood family, and the son of a famous director. And one must look at you all the time and ask, do you know something? Is Hollywood putting out all of these E.T. films? You know, are they trying to desensitize us? Is there a reason for this? Would Hollywood actually do something like that intentionally?
Well, yeah, of course. The thing is, well, first, you know, he mentioned about how religion would be affected by the alien disclosure. Of course it would be affected, because first and foremost, perhaps the gods of these texts are alien beings. So the disclosure of alien life might, in a sense, validate some of those religious beliefs, but not in the way that people had expected, right? They don't I don't personally call God some kind of being that has a physical presence and body. Like, you know, that's not my conception of God. My conception of God is much more infinite and vast, and is the creation source. But if you ask a lot of people, then, yeah, their God is literally more of like what an alien being would be, right? So if there was this disclosure of alien beings genetically manipulating mankind, for example, then that gets very much into the realm of what the Bible talks about, right? The notion of the Elohim and whatnot, gathering together to create mankind. So there is, of course, going to be a religious repercussion to it. But I do tend to think that the heart of the Vatican and the heart of some of these religious teachers they understand that they are part of ancient cults worshiping various gods in different forms, right? Whether
right.
it's the flying serpents or the winged bison bull, right? Or the fish gods or whatnot. Different alien beings that we would call alien. Again, it's just, it's a language thing, but it's something that's non-human, that it has a, that has a sentience and a conscience and exists. And it's about us coming to understand that, and how do we frame that within the reality that we've, that's been constructed for us, and for what purpose? Why have we been created? What is our purpose here? We have to ask these fundamental questions. So when it comes to Hollywood, yes, Hollywood plays a role because there is an Illuminati. There is a Masonic element of constructing our reality that, you know, people read articles, they watch media, they watch movies. Well, there's consciousness behind that. There's ideas, there's permission that's granted in a universal sense to allow that to be created. It's not just by chance.
Deb's in Twitter. She wants to ask you if Skinwalker Ranch is as scary as it's supposed to be.
I don't honestly know, because I didn't spend enough time there. You know, I can't really like comment. I didn't spend the night like, you know, burrowed up in a tree or something. The actual location, yeah, it has, you know, it has an energy to it. Some people say it's tremendously haunted and active, but I didn't get to explore it and have enough personal paranormal experiences as I would like to. I know Tyrell Ventura, Jesse Ventura's son, did see a craft very clearly that shocked him, and, you know, not physically shocked him, but
shocked him.
Metaphorically shocked him when he saw it, and that materialized and vanished right before his eyes when we were right next to the property.
Really quick, we're about 45 seconds to our break, and I want to thank you for coming on the show. You and I are going to be at the Conscious Life Expo here in just a few short weeks. I can't believe it. What are you going to be talking about at Conscious Life?
Yeah, February 21st. People, I guess, should buy tickets if they want to go see any number of speakers. I'm sure it'll be great. They usually have a tremendous number of guests. And honestly, I don't know yet what I'll be talking about. How about that? I just like to go and show up and let's just see what people want to hear.
Well, what's going to be really cool is we're going to be broadcasting live that Friday night. So if you want to come and meet Sean and hang out and watch him in the hot seat in person, we'll be doing it live that Friday night. Thank you, Sean. Be safe out there. Keep rolling that rock uphill.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Sean Stone, everybody. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, get ready. Your calls next for the rest of the show. I want to talk to you. What do you think about this new generation? Are we living in a hologram of conspiracy? This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter @JChurchRadio. We'll be right back.